Lift your voice tonight. Shemo sodiatana kasimbra. Sendi arana kasata kastambra kasa. Solo mononoko soya nana kasa brakasa. Feel that anointing? Precious. Seshtiatana kasimbra. Senenakisi arana kasombra kasa. Praying in the spirit. Shebra kasoya tsandiki sitia. Sebra kosutu. Brasutu, brasutu, brasutu. Ishtamrakasi andakashta. Father, into your hands we commend our lives. Our whole lives. We bless you tonight. We praise you. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you honor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this church, for what it means to this community and to this state. Thank you for what it means to me. I praise you, Father. I thank you. Thank you for a fresh touch of the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. I receive it upon me now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give a shout of praise unto the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Pastors Jay and Debbie, thank you so much for this invitation. I feel the same way that you do. And I'm looking forward to the future. And we have a friendship that will last. It's not a fair weather friendship. Everybody's had those, haven't they? Praise God. Thank you for honoring my father. I appreciate that. You'll never know where you're going unless you know where you've been. And it's good to go back to look at where you've come from. And I know my roots. And I'm honored to remember those roots and what you said about my father. I appreciate that. You reminded me tonight as you were talking. You reminded me of something that Billy Graham said to my father, which I think you might be interested in knowing. I first met Billy Graham when I was about this tall. I knew him all my life. Precious man of God. And he said to my father, Oral, when I have a crusade in a city with great crowds, when it's over, I go home. But when you have a great crusade and you finish, you take the people home with you. And I thought to myself, I don't know that I've ever heard a higher compliment, that you take the hearts of the people with you. And I feel like when I come here, this is my third time to be with you. I feel like I'm taking you home with me. I'm taking your heart with me. Now, you're right, I've been a lot of places, but I don't know that I've ever been in a place that I feel more of the presence of God than I do here. I'm saying that because it's true, and I honor you tonight. I started coming to Iowa in the 1970s and preaching. I was young in ministry. I had black hair. I came, I preached in Des Moines, I preached in Ames, I preached in Iowa City, I preached in Dubuque, I preached here in Cedar Rapids, and a number of times over those years, but usually those were the one-night healing services, not having any idea that I would ever come and be a part of a church. I was in public buildings and that sort of thing, and we would invite our partners in the area to come, and they would come and fill those buildings, and we would preach. And sometimes my dad would come with me. As he was getting older, he didn't do it as much, but he would come with me, and we would be all over the state. In fact, all over the nation. In fact, during the 70s, I think I ministered in some 100 cities just in the United States alone. So I have been a few places in my life. There's some miles on this chassis. But I got good news. I tested positive for righteousness. but I'm especially honored to be here tonight. Who received a healing last night? Raise your hand if you received a healing in some form. Stand up just where you are. Just stand up if you received a healing last night. Tell me, what was it? What did you get? Your shoulder? Your shoulder got healed last night? What did you get healed? Your lower back got healed. How about you?
My shoulder.
Your shoulder got healed. I got two shoulders and a back. Somebody keep score now, okay? What happened?
Oh, something unusual. I didn't feel anything, so I couldn't stand up.
You didn't feel anything, but you couldn't stand?
No, I couldn't stand up and sit. Yeah, I felt something different.
You felt something
different? I didn't.
You didn't feel anything different.
When I got up this morning, I was 3 pounds lighter. Well.
Now that's a healing. Would you send me that formula? Oh. What happened to you? Your back? And what happened to you in the back?
My back.
Your back? And what about you?
Two things. My back and I kicked into this really heavy, hard thing right before the meeting.
Your back and you hit something? Oh, your one toe went north, one toe went south. Uh-huh. You ever had that happen? Uh-huh. And you got healed last night? Praise God. How about you? Shoulder got healed. How about you? Right foot. Anybody keeping score over here? Okay, all right. How about you? Left lower back. How about you? Lower back. Pain's gone. Thank God. What happened? Back healing. A lot of backs. What about you? Your back. How about you? Left hip. Praise God. Praise God. I walked on the platform at Creflo Dollars in Atlanta, Creflo Dollars Church, the Faith Dome. And when I walked on the platform, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge about backs. 500 people came forward and gave a testimony. Now, there were about 7,000 or 8,000 there that night, but 500 people got healed in their backs in the first 5 minutes of the service. You never know what God's going to do and how he's going to do it. And I've told him to do it at the beginning, he'll do it at the end. I've told him to do it at the end, he'll do it at the beginning. I have quit trying to figure God out. Okay? So stop being so analytical, trying to understand God. Because his ways are above your ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And he takes the things that the world calls foolish. And he uses them to confound the wise. Okay? Just about the time you think you're so smart, you're not. Okay? Praise God. I was on a theme last night of healing and the Holy Spirit. Now, wherever I go, those are two of the three things that I am asked to minister on. As I've gotten older, particularly, the Lord has guided me toward ministering on healing, the Holy Spirit, and the principles of seed faith. Those three key principles shaped my life and shaped my father's life before me. And before my father went home to be with the Lord, he laid his hands on me and prophesied over me that when I got into my mid-60s, which was a few years ago, I would become a minister to ministers, particularly on healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith. Someone who has pain on the inside part of your right leg around your knee. Would you stand up, please? I'm describing you exactly. It's the inside portion of your right knee right here. Is that it? Put your hand right there. Loose it in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to step out in the aisle and start walking. You're going to find your knee is completely healed. You couldn't do what?
I couldn't do that.
You couldn't? Show me one more time what you could not do. What couldn't you do? I'm sorry, I wasn't watching. What is it that?
Glory to God! Glory to God!
Well, go ahead and worship. I told you I could.
couldn't tell you when a word of knowledge was coming. No way I could. It just, wham, it just hits me.
Hallelujah.
I was telling the pastors after the service last night, Lindsay and I went to a Brother Hagin camp meeting. And the Tulsa Assembly Center was jammed, about 12,000 people. And he brought us, and my dad and my mother were there, and Lindsay and I were sitting next to each other, and we were on the front row. We were just enjoying Brother Hagin. And all of a sudden, Brother Hagin said, "And now Richard Roberts will give the word of knowledge." I turned to Lindsay and said, "Richard Roberts doesn't have any word of knowledge." And Brother Hagin came off the platform with a microphone like this, walked over to me, and I didn't know what to do. The moment the microphone touched my hand, the word of knowledge began to flow. People began to get healed all over, give testimonies. Were you there? Were you there that night? Yeah, oh, my goodness. You just never know. I was preaching in Swaziland, which is a little protectorate of South Africa. And it's in the Swazi kingdom. The language they speak is Swazi. And I was speaking to Parliament. About 100 government leaders. And I said to the Lord, now this was on the opening day of the crusade. The crusade was starting that night. And I was standing before these august, dignified politicians. And I said to the Lord, "No word of knowledge." "Not here, God. Let them come to the crusade tonight." And they introduced me. I got to speak. God began giving words of knowledge. I said, "God, cut that out." And finally, I got tongue-tied and couldn't talk until I gave it. And I just blurted out what I heard the Lord say. And the first healing was the vice president of the country. And the next healing was the man who, in our government, we call him the Speaker of the House. They have a different name in Parliament. He was the second healing. And I said, "Lord, you and me all the time. Just you and me, you know. We're okay." He never can figure out what God's going to do or when he's going to do it or how he was going to do it. So that's... And so I've learned over the years just to keep my mouth shut and let him do whatever he wants to do, even though I might not understand what God is doing. And sometimes when it comes out of my mouth, it's shocking. It shocks me. And I say, "God, are you sure?" Once I said, "God, I hope you're right, you know." I mean, it's some things that he has me say. It freaks me out, you know. I remember one night, Lindsay and I were on television. We were live. And the Lord said to me, "Say this. There's a man watching who had his fingers cut off in an accident in the Vietnam War." And I said, "Lord, I don't want to say that. This is on national television." You know, and he said, they sewed his fingers back on during the war, but... he has no feeling in them, and he can take his fist and hit it against a wall and not feel a thing. And so I said, "Okay, Lord." So I swallowed hard and I said it. Next day, I got a call from a man in Nashville. He said, "In Vietnam, I was part of the Seabees, the construction part of the Army. And he said, my fingers were severed. The doctor sewed them back on. I've not had any feeling in those fingers since the 1960s. But I was watching you last night, and when you said that, I have complete feeling in my fingers again." Now, I've just learned how to obey. Okay? Whatever he says, you know, just yes. When he says jump, you say how high? On the way up, you know? You say, "Well, do you ever miss it?" Sure, you know, you're a human being. Don't miss it much, though. But I thank God for that. So only God knows what he's going to do the rest of this weekend. And I praise God for that. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, we started on healing and also on the Holy Spirit. And I was emphasizing last night praying in tongues, how important praying in tongues is. Pastor was saying he had a time of praying in tongues today, and God revealed some things to him as he's praying back in English. That's how you get understanding. When you pray in tongues, Paul, the apostle, taught us we don't know what we're saying. We are speaking, this is 1 Corinthians 14, we're speaking the mysteries of God. We feel better. We are edified, but we don't have any information to go along with it. That's why he said, what will I do? I will pray in tongues and also in my own language also. And when you pray in English, you get understanding. Now, I shared with you when I was here the first time about when my father was endeavoring to build the university. And I'm saying this tonight because you may have heard that ORU, where I was president for 15 years and where I graduated three times, I didn't get it right the first time or the second time, so I took three times to graduate. I got my bachelor's and my master's and my doctorate degree there. But ORU won the first game of the NCAA yesterday. They're now in the final 34, you know. And now they play, they beat Ohio State. And now they got to play at the University of Florida tomorrow. So we'll cancel service and we'll be watching that. No. But I called him to congratulate him. But anyway, the reason I'm telling the story is because it reminded me of the early days when my father was endeavoring to build a university. God had said to him, build me a university, build it on my authority, build it on the Holy Spirit. And raise up your students to hear my voice, to go where my light is seen dim, my voice is heard small, my power is not known, even to the uttermost bounds of the earth. And their work will exceed yours. And in that I'm well pleased. Now, do you think that's branded into me?
Yeah.
Right. Right. That's been branded in me since I was a young teenager. But we would go out in his car, and we would walk through the trees on the piece of ground that God was arranging for the university. And I would hear him praying in tongues and then praying in English. And as he prayed in tongues and then prayed in English, God gave him the blueprint plan for the entire campus. I was there watching it. I was about 12 or 13 years old, but I remember it like it was yesterday. It happened because he prayed in the Spirit, and then he prayed with his understanding in English. He had no clue how to build a university. But through praying in tongues and praying back in his own language, God showed him how to build the buildings, how to build a curriculum, how to get students, how to believe him for the money to build it. And that was the value of praying in tongues. I grew up under that kind of ministry. I understand that. Dr. Jeff Ogle is with me tonight. Jeff, stand up. Let them give you a big God bless you. Dr. Ogle, during my years as president of the university, Dr. Ogle served as vice president and as a dean of enrollment management in the university. And then when I stepped down from the university, he joined me in full-time in the ministry, and we started our online school. And we have an online Bible school program, the School of Miracles, which is about 40,000 online students in how many nations?
Over 100
nations they come from. Dr. Ogle was telling me, and Jeff, I hope I get the story right. He was telling me about when I sent him back to college. Back, what years were those? Around 2000 or somewhere in that area? Somewhere around 2000. I sent him back to get a doctorate. I sent him to Oklahoma State University to get his doctorate. And he went through that program having already had his master's. And he had to take his comprehensive final in order to get his doctorate. And then he had to defend it. Isn't that right? You had to defend it after he took it. And that's what you have to do to get a doctorate degree. And there were a number of questions that he had to answer. And he got to the last question and had no clue how to answer it. He was just telling me the story the other day. Not a clue how to answer it. And he asked the professor if he could be excused for the moment to go outside and go to the restroom and come back. And as he was in the restroom praying in tongues, then praying in English, out of the blue, God gave him the answer to the question that he could write. And he was told later by his, the lead professor? Pardon? Member of his doctoral committee, that the answer that he gave to that question was the best answer on the entire exam.
Praise God.
Now that happened. Am I telling it right? It happened because he prayed in tongues and then stopped and prayed in English. And God gave him understanding. Literally what happened was God watered his mind. Are you listening? He watered his mind so he could have understanding how to answer the question. And the professor said it was the best answer he gave on the entire exam. And he got his doctorate and came back full time in that position. When Lindsay and I lost our firstborn child, who died in my arms in 1984 in the neonatal intensive care unit in St. John's Hospital in Tulsa, with everyone we knew across America praying, when he died in my arms, no prayer in English would cut it. The words just hit the ceiling and bounced back in our faces. And the devil was mocking us and saying, here you are, you're an evangelist in the healing ministry, and you can't even get your little boy healed. You can imagine what I felt like. And it was all over the newspapers. And there were people that were that had been critical of us anyway. And we didn't know what to do, so we began to join hands together, Lindsay and I, and we began to pray in tongues. And when we stopped and prayed in English, God began to give us understanding. He began to give us a new path that we were to walk. And I don't believe we would have survived had we not known how to pray in tongues and then stop and pray in our own language. And that's what Paul was talking about. What will I do, he said. I will, and the word will means I determine. I am determined to pray in tongues, then stop and pray in English. And when I do, several things happen. I get new ideas. I get new concepts. I get new and innovative ways of doing things and thoughts that I've never had before. And things come out of my mouth that I know did not come out of my brain. Okay? So I'm depositing that in you tonight. And I'm carrying on that theme of the Holy Spirit and healing. And I may have more stories to share with you tomorrow on this. We'll see how the Lord leads. But I want to emphasize that. I don't think I could share anything more important with you tonight than the practicalness of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the feeling that you have when you pray in tongues. Thank God for the joy that comes, unspeakable and full of glory. Thank God for the edification. I appreciate that. I'm grateful. But what I'm the most grateful for is when I stop and pray in English, I begin to get understanding. Okay? Now, if you're not already doing that, I strongly urge you to start. Most Christians that I know who pray in tongues stop after they pray in tongues, and that's it. They don't follow through with the next part. And it's the next part that fulfills the first part and makes the difference. Let's just all stand up for just a moment and let's just pray in tongues just for a moment. And then begin to pray in English after. Let's just do that before I continue this message. Yes, thank you, Lord, for healing that stomach right now. Thank you for healing that stomach problem right now in the name of Jesus. Sedo, go ahead, just pray in the Spirit. And then in a moment, we'll switch over to English. There's nothing more practical in your Christian walk of life than praying in tongues and stopping and praying in English. Now, everybody, just stop and begin praying in your own language. Right out loud. Pray right out loud. Whatever the first thing that comes to you. I'm telling you, with all sincerity tonight, if you'll begin to do this and exercise it every day, you'll find it'll grow, it'll grow, it'll grow, it'll grow. Get stronger in you every day. God bless you. You can be seated. It will make a tremendous difference in your life. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, open up to Matthew Matthew chapter 9. I just briefly touched on this last night, and I want to do a little deeper study on it with you tonight. Matthew chapter 9. Let's see. I wish I could see those words. I really do. Ah, there are words. Look at that. Verse 27. And when Jesus departed, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when Jesus had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they replied, "Yes, Lord." Then Jesus touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." And their eyes were opened. This is a very powerful, powerful scripture. Jesus transferred the responsibility of believing over to the two blind men.
Yes.
In my experience, in praying for the sick and seeing miracles all over the world, in nation after nation, I've been in 55 nations. I've preached in more than 30 of those 55. In my experience, when I can get people's faith into agreement, when I can get them to join me with their faith and not look at me, but look at the Lord, I have a much better chance of my prayers working in their lives. Now, are you hearing me tonight?
Yes, sir.
Jesus turned the responsibility of the believing over to those two blind men.
Yes.
Now, they came. In all honesty and sincerity, the Bible says crying. Now that wasn't a boo-hoo cry. That was a battle cry.
Yeah.
They were crying out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Jesus, crying out, calling out. And Jesus turned to them and said, "Do you believe?" It's not what somebody else believes. It's what you believe.
Yes.
There may be somebody in your family who does not believe. There may be somebody in your business or on your job or down the street or in the same apartment building or lives next door, and they don't believe. It's not what they believe. It's what you believe.
Amen.
It's the truth that you know.
Yes.
That sets you free. It's not the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that you know. That's what sets you free. Jesus was saying, "Do you believe?" He brings it down to a personal level. Like the day when he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And the one said, "Well, one says you're like Moses. One said you're like Elijah. You're like the prophets." And then Jesus turned it on them. "Who do you say that I am?" Okay. "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Well, the scripture says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." That's in Exodus. We know that scripture. We know that in John 10:10, "The thief or the devil cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life."
Yes.
That's healing. And have it more abundantly. We know Matthew 14:14, that Jesus went forth. He saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. We know the leper said to him, "Jesus, you can heal me if you want to." Jesus said, "I want to." And he healed him. We know that Jesus healed. We know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But do you believe?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That I am able to do this. He transferred the responsibility of believing over to the two blind men. He literally said, "Will you enter into an agreement with me?" Now, in the world, a contract is signed usually by two parties. And a contract will hold up in court. And many people, even today, are in court over a contract dispute. So when you set your faith in an agreement with God, you're going into a literal contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what you say about that contract is so important. That's why he said, whoever shall say unto this mountain, this problem, this need, whatever it is, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, Mark's gospel, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's a contract. But you have to enter into that contract with him. Yeah. And that's why he said, he talked about if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you know. Right. And that's why he talked about a contract that we enter into. And that we can pray and we can come into an agreement with him. If two shall agree, the Bible says. That's a contract. If two shall agree, it only takes two. Yeah. It's not going to take your whole business, your whole block. It's not going to take your whole family. It takes you. If two shall agree on earth as concerning anything that they shall ask, it shall be done by my Father. That's a contract. He is asking these two men to come into a contract with him. Do you believe?
Yeah.
What are you believing? Are you believing what the world says? Or are you believing what the Word says? Now, there's only one difference in the word world and the word word. And that's the L.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what in the L do you want? What the world says is not what the Word says. But it's so easy to go into an agreement with what the world says, which cancels out what the Word says. And you can come into this church and you can swing from the chandeliers, if you had some, and you worship and dance before the Lord as the praise team sings, and you can do the Holy Ghost hullabaloo like he just did a moment ago, you know. That's what I call that. And like she was doing, you know. But if you walk out of here and doubt what you heard, and what you've taken into your spirit, the devil will just try to suck it out of you. He's the world's greatest sucker anyway. He just sucks it out. And sometimes before you get to your car, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and wipe out what you got when you came here. That's why it's so important that you come often. So you get not just a dose, but you keep getting a double dose. Keep getting a dose, and a dose, and a dose, and a dose. Just keep taking God's medicine, okay? He said, do you believe? Do you believe? I grew up believing. I believe that nothing was impossible because I saw miracles. I traveled with my father when I was a boy, and I saw miracles, miracles after miracles after miracles after miracles. Just every time I went with him, there were miracles. I was surrounded by miracles. And some people came with great faith, and some people didn't come with a whole lot of faith, but they still believed. And it was in a day that's not like today. Those days in the 1950s and early 60s when I was growing up, there didn't seem to be a lot of faith in America. And that's the reason why he preached those long, 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 long sermons. He'd sometimes preach for an hour and a half until my rear end was worn out. And I would say, Daddy, why do you preach so long? He said, I have to build faith. Because there isn't much faith in people's hearts. I'm building their faith so they can believe. And I'm showing them not to look at me, but to look at God. And I grew up in that atmosphere. And he said to these two men, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, we believe. That's when Jesus performed the miracle. He's waiting on you to say that you believe. Do you hear that? He's waiting on you. He's already made up his mind. He is the healer. Now get your pen and paper out and make a few notes here. I'm going to talk to you for just a few minutes and give you some things to write down on your breakthrough. Your breakthrough for your healing. Your breakthrough for healing. Okay? I've been talking about this a lot lately. Every Saturday night, and this is Saturday, isn't it? Every Saturday night at 10 o'clock Central Time, no matter where I am in the world, I do a conference phone call. I'll do it tonight after the service. No matter where I am in the world, no matter what time zone I'm in. And sometimes if I'm overseas, it may be 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning where I am, but it'll be 10 o'clock here in the Central Zone. And I'll do it tonight after the service. I've been talking to them, and I'll have about 700 on the call tonight. And I've been talking to them about their breakthrough for miracles. And I'll be talking about that tonight. And I'm also going to steal the message that Brother Jay gave last night when he was raising the offering about Andrew saying to Jesus, "What is this among so many?"
Yeah.
I'm announcing in advance, I'm stealing that.
I stole it.
I'm admitting it. And not only that, I'm not going to give you 1 ounce of credit tonight either. I'm going to preach that tonight. And I'm going to use it in context of their breakthrough for a miracle. Okay? So I'm giving you advance notice. That's what I'm going to do tonight at 10 o'clock when I finish this. Okay? I listened very carefully to what you said last night. And Jeff punched me and he said, "That'd be good for your phone call." I said, "I'm stealing that. I'm stealing that." Your breakthrough for healing. Number one, write this down. Your healing has been paid for in full.
Amen.
Your healing has been paid for in full.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
A mother went into her kitchen and saw a note on the table. It was from her son, little Johnny. And on the note it said, "Mama, for mowing the yard, you owe me a dollar. For washing the car, you owe me 50 cents. Signed, Johnny." She went to the front door and saw where Johnny was in the yard playing, called him over and sat down on the front porch. And said, "Johnny, for giving you birth, and for going through the valley of the shadow of death, for washing and mending and ironing your clothing, for cooking your meals and getting you off to school every day, Mama makes no charge."
I know, that's right.
She said, "You can go back out now and play." Later during the day, she came to the kitchen and she saw the note again, but the words had been crossed out. And at the bottom it said, "Paid in full by my mom." Your healing has been paid for. He paid the price. He took 39 stripes. I read an article once in a medical journal that doctors have grouped all sickness and disease known to man into 39 categories. And I thought to myself, medical science is confirming the word of God. 39 stripes. One stripe for every type of sickness and disease known to mankind. He paid the price, not just for salvation, although he certainly paid that price in his shed blood for the remission of sin, but he took the stripes on his back and paid the price in full. And Peter tells us, by his stripes, we were healed. That means healing is available. Your healing has been paid in full. Number two, check and see if there is any unconfessed sin in your life. Write that down. The other day I was going into a service and I was worshiping along with the praise team when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brought something to my mind that I had done that wasn't right. Now, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit knows and sees everything. And I heard the Lord say, don't get up there and preach until you confess that to me and ask me to forgive you. And he immediately reminded me of 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
And nobody heard me. I wasn't saying it for anybody else. Yeah. I just said to the Lord, okay, Lord, I see this Holy Spirit has quickened me in my heart. I see what I did there was wrong. I'm sorry. I repent. And I said, Lord, the first opportunity I get, I'll make it right. I couldn't make it right then. I could only make it right later. Because I wasn't with, you know what I'm saying. Check and see. David said that a lot. He said, Lord, check me out. Take a look at my heart. See if there's anything in me that's not right. Pluck it out. And I really believe that's the reason why God could call him a man after his own heart. And after all the mistakes and all of the things that David did, and we can talk about what David did and all the things that were wrong in his life. But when he realized he was wrong, he got on his face before God and he repented. Now that's how you become a man or a woman after God's own heart. God's not counting the number of mistakes you make. No, not. Thank God for repentance. And listen, friend, repentance is not a change of heart. Repentance is a change of mind. You can't change your heart, but God won't change your mind. Repentance is a change of mind. Now, Richard, what do you mean by that? Before you got saved, you were ruled by your mind. Your mind was in control. Your soul realm, your mind, your will, your emotions, they ran your life. But watch this. When you gave your heart to Christ, you better get ready for this. When you came to Christ, there was a change of position. Your spirit was elevated above your mind. And your mind was lowered down to the place where it needs to be, so that you were controlled by your spirit. You made a change of your mind. Your mind was changed from the position it was in when it was in leadership and came down into subjection to your spirit the way you were created. Now you take that home tonight and think about that. That'll set you free when you understand God's not up there counting the number of mistakes you make. Okay? Praise God. Number three. And we'll do that. We'll do that number two tonight before we pray. We'll check on any unconfessed sin. And I'm not talking about getting up here and writing it on the bulletin board, you know. I'm not talking about that. Number three. Now, I'm going to quit preaching for a moment, and I'm going to be right straightforward with you, okay? So get ready to get offended. Stop griping and complaining. Stop being a whiner. Nobody likes a whiner. Do you know people like that? Look straight ahead. Don't look to your left or right. Do you know people? That's all they do. They gripe, they whine, and they complain. Oh, well, you think you're sick? Let me tell you about my sickness. They take possession of it.
Yeah.
They fondle it.
Yeah.
And that's all. And if they didn't talk about their sickness, they'd have nothing else to talk about. You know anybody like that? Stop griping. Stop whining. Stop complaining. Cut that out of your life. Nobody likes a complainer. You want to get up and walk out of the room, don't you? So do I. Now, don't get mad at me now, okay? Only take it personally if it fits.
Come on.
let me get my shield of faith up here. Feel those fiery darts. Number four. Now I'm going to get even more personal. Are you ready? I'm coming at you with a second barrel, okay? Number four. Forgive the person you're holding something against. Write it down. I just did say it. I'll say it again. Forgive the person that you're holding something against. And don't look at me and tell me you're not holding something against somebody. You know, you're going to hell for lying. Everybody has been done wrong by somebody. And sometimes it happens almost every day. And the nature of people is to hold on to that. The problem with unforgiveness is it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. That unforgiveness won't hurt them, but it'll kill you. Dr. Jim Winslow, a tremendous orthopedic surgeon in Oklahoma, told me in his medical practice of surgery, orthopedic surgery, he always tries to deal with unforgiveness in the patient before he does surgery. He said, I've done surveys and I have much more success when I can get the patient to forgive whoever they're holding something against before I do the surgery. Now, that's this scripture. That's this point I'm making. Forgive. What did Jesus say? If you don't forgive, then I'm not going to forgive you either. Well, God, no, wait a minute, God. He doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Don't act like you have never said that. She doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Well, I got news. Neither were you. But Jesus forgave us all. And he said, if you come to the altar with your gift, but you have aught against somebody, or you're holding an offense against them, go and make it right. And then come back with your offering. Unforgiveness is a killer. And it will destroy your chances for a miracle. Get that unforgiveness out of your heart. It's not a matter of whether they deserve it. Now, Can anybody have a loose piece of paper? Yeah, thank you. Here's what my wife taught me to do. Because I've been hurt a lot in my life. I've had a lot of things done and said. I've had articles in newspapers and magazines and online, things that have been said about me that aren't true. And I've never defended myself. But it's easy to get hurt. Yeah. It's really easy. And then it festers. And then you get angry. And then you get bitter. Okay? And here's what my wife taught me. She said, take a piece of paper and draw a line down the center. And put... Sorry, I'll just illustrate it. Draw a line down the center. And put the person's name over here on this side, on the left side. And then separate it from what they did. Put what they did on the other side of the line. And she said, once you've got their name and what they've done... tear it right down the middle. Now he said, or she said to me, Richard, you're not forgiving what they did. Because what they did was wrong. It hurt. Set that aside and forgive the person. She taught me that. And I think one of the reasons why I enjoy such good health is because I don't go to bed at night holding something against somebody. And it's not a question of whether they deserve it or not. I just forgive them. I've had people do terrible things to me, and I just forgive them and let them go. And I say, God, here they are. They're yours now. In fact, I've said, God, they're your problem. I'm going to let them go. So if you're holding something against somebody, let it go. Forgive them. Number five. Stop talking about the problem. And start talking to the problem.
Amen.
You never find Jesus talking about a problem. you find him talking to the problem. He didn't climb mountains, he spoke to them. When he prayed for people, he didn't talk about their sickness, he talked to the sickness. Now, I learned that from my father. My father used the phrase, "You foul, tormenting sickness, I adjure you by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out." Now, that's a command. And you hear me say things like that when I pray for people. I don't ever talk about cancer. I talk to cancer. I don't talk about heart disease. I talk to heart disease. I don't talk about back problems and feet problems and leg problems and swelling. I talk to it. Okay? Stop talking about the problem. And start talking to the problem. Get your words in harmony with the Word of God. And then number six. And this goes back to what I talked about last night. Find someone who will go into agreement with you for your healing. Now last night, we ended up in James chapter 5 praying one for another, did we not? We stood up, we turned, we faced one another. We laid hands on one another and we prayed. Because the scripture says, pray ye one for another that ye, or you, may be healed. You pray for someone else's healing so that healing can come back to you. Find someone who will go into an agreement with you. It's easy to find someone who will doubt it. That's easy. It's simple. You can walk right out here on the street and find 10 people who will go, who will not go into agreement with you on that. They'll tell you that it's impossible. They'll tell you that it's too late. But instead, find someone. Now, that may be someone in your family. It may be someone outside of your family. Find someone who will go into an agreement. Because the scripture says, if two shall agree on earth as concerning anything that they shall ask, it shall be done by my Father. All right, let's rehearse this one more time in case you missed it. Number one, your healing has been paid for in full. Number two, check to see if there's any unconfessed sin in your life. Number three, don't be a critic. Stop griping and complaining. Number four, forgive if you have aught against anyone, whether they deserve it or not. Five, stop talking about the problem and start talking to the problem. And number six, find someone who will go into agreement with you for your miracle. I believe, and I have found in my own life, that when I follow these steps, I'm in the best position, what I like to call a preferred position, to receive from God. I want all of the obstacles out of my way. I want the quickest, easiest path to healing. Now, I don't care how God does it. Okay? I don't care if it comes through prayer, or if it comes through my doctor, or if it comes through climate, or diet, or exercise, or good health habits. I don't care. I just am going to give the glory of the healing to the Lord. I thank the person who prays. I thank the doctor who treats and medicates. But I give the glory of the healing to God. And that's foreign to some in some Pentecostal circles. Because when I grew up, it wasn't that way. People tied one of God's hands behind his back and said, "God, this is the only way that you can heal me." Well, I'm not like that. I want it all. I want his best. And I don't care how he does it. If I get a headache, I have somebody pray for me and I take two Tylenol. I just give the glory of the healing to God. I don't care. I couldn't care less how it comes. I just want to get well. That's the the bottom line. Why should you care how God does it? Well, I didn't have much faith, so I went to the doctor. Oh, bull hunky. Can you say that in Iowa? Bull hunky? I cleaned that up just for you. You just got that, didn't you? Yeah, you're slow, but you're worth waiting on. I don't care how it comes. I'm just going to give the glory to the Lord.
Yeah.
And somebody said, well, you're out of your mind. You're right. I'm out of my mind, and I'm into my spirit.
Yes.
I'm into my spirit where I belong.
Yes.
I'm at the point in my life where I could not care less what somebody thinks about me. I just don't care. Okay? I'm not worried about that. I'm concerned about being obedient to God. Okay, now, did you get those six things?
Yes, sir.
Did you write them down?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure? Did you miss any?
No.
Look at them again. Number one, this is what a good teacher does. She or he brads the nail on the other side.
Yes.
Make sure you got it. Number one, your healing has been paid for in full.
Yes, sir.
Number two, check to see if there's any unconfessed sin in your life. Number three, don't be a critic. Stop griping, whining, and complaining. Number four, forgive if you have aught against anybody. Five, stop talking about the problem and start talking to the problem. And six, find somebody who will go into agreement with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your books and your Bibles and your notes away. Hallelujah. And you musicians, come back. Just begin to pray in the Spirit now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kiashia daka sambra kasa. Setiata naka sambra kasa. Oh my goodness. Yes, I hear that, Lord. I hear that, Lord. I hear that. I just heard the Lord say, wait until you see what I'm going to do tomorrow morning. I just heard that clearly as I was praying in the Spirit. I just heard it come out of my mouth. Wait until you see what I'm going to do tomorrow morning. Oh my goodness, wait until you see what I'm going to do. And something has been happening in my life recently. I have been seeing services in my spirit in advance. I remember Brother Hagin used to have that happen. He would come to a service and he would say, I saw myself doing such and such, and that's begun to happen in me. I'll be in my room studying, and all of a sudden, it's like I'm transported. I'll see myself a week or two in advance, and I'll give you an example. I spoke back in January. For Brother Kenneth Copeland in his annual ministers conference. It's the sixth year in a row that I have been the closing night speaker. And they have about 1,000, 1,200 pastors from all over the world. And I was at home studying, getting ready, and I saw in advance what I was going to be doing. I actually saw myself on the platform doing it. And I told the people that night, and I did exactly what I saw myself several weeks before. In fact, it was before Christmas. I saw myself doing that at the end of January, and that's exactly what I did. And I'm seeing the service tomorrow in advance. You don't want to miss tomorrow morning. And I think all this from last night and tonight is in preparation. For what's coming. Okay? Schooling in faith, schooling in believing, schooling to get yourself into a preferred position to receive what God has for you. Praise God. Just lift your voice in the Spirit tonight. Shiwakatia mosambrakasitia shtambrakasa senyashatikisimbrakasatanakasa shelamananakasia Sobra sabra kasiti kisti anda kasa. Leshina tadana kasini anana kasombro koso. Oh, it's so good to pray in tongues. Masimbra. Voseptia. Bakashtit nergadana kasambra. Moshetianda. Moshetianda. Tanana kasi anda kastobro koso. Sana kasi anda kasabra. For I will do miracles in your midst. This is why I have sent my servant unto you. This is why I brought you to this church.
This is why I have set a table before you. That's what I hear the Lord saying as I pray back in English. That's a prophetic word God's giving me. If you have any type of pain in your body, just lay your hand on yourself right now. Any type of pain or problem, just lay your hand on yourself. Because you don't have to wait until tomorrow. In the name of Jesus, that power is flooding out of my chest and out of my voice right now. And in Jesus' name, I come against this satanic attack of the devil. You foul, tormenting, demonic spirit, you take your dirty, rotten, stinking, filthy hands off. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I remind you that Jesus himself said, whatever we bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. And I remind you that he also said, whatever you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. And I loose the power of God into you. Now here comes healing right now. Healing. Healing right now. Healing. Healing in heads. Healing in feet. Healing in toes. Healing in knees. Healing in hips. Healing in backs. Healing in kidneys. Healing in livers. Healing in gallbladders. Healing in prostates. Healing in hearts. Healing in blood pressure. Healing in blood sugar. Healing from cancer. Healing from growths and tumors and masses and irregular blood flowing. Healing hearts. Healing eyes. Healing hearing. Healing throats. Healing teeth. Healing gums. Healing from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Now just lift your hands and pull it in. Just lift your hands and pull it in. Say, that's mine. Say, that's mine. Say, I go into agreement with that. I go into a faith contract. According to Matthew 18, 18 and 19. If two shall agree. Come on, agree with me. Agree. Let's go into a contract. Agree. I agree. I agree with that prayer. I agree. I agree. And I receive it. Somebody's getting healed right now, right where you're sitting. Power of God is flowing. You can tell right now. Wave your hand at me. You can just tell right now. Healing's happening. Yeah, I see you. Yes, 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 yes. That's not me. That's God.
Amen.
And for this purpose, I've come. I think I'd rather do what I'm doing tonight than just about anything I can think of. It's the most satisfaction that I get in life. Of just allowing the Lord to use me. And I praise God for that. And I'm so honored to get to share it with you. To just pour out my life. And when I leave here on Monday, I'm taking you home with me. Okay? And as I'm taking your heart, I'm taking a part of you, I want to be inextricably tied to you. I want to have that kind of faith relationship. That's why I'm here. And the older I get, the more I want it. And I mean for the right reason. And I praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's pray in tongues together one more time. Just pray in the spirit as pastor comes. Shila manana kasia dakasa. Keshtana kasabrakasa. Soli arana kasambrakasa. Shiti atana kasambrakasa. Shiti arana ka. Ah, can't wait till tomorrow morning. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God's power is moving, isn't it? Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Glory, 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 glory. Well, as you said, I wasn't going to be here tomorrow morning. Well, you might want to change your plans. Hallelujah. Amen. We understand. Some of you got churches, your own home churches. We don't want to take you from that, but I'm going to be here. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are so blessed and honored to receive this ministry, aren't we? We're going to receive a love offering before we go tonight. So I want to get the ushers in the aisles if the ushers would serve the people. If you want to give tonight, you can give three different ways. You can give by cash, of course, give by check, or you can give by text to give. You see it on the screen there if you would like to. Come on up. Oh, you want to? Yeah, come on up.
Excuse me for interrupting, but there's a person here who has a growth on your arm. It's between your, it's between your wrist and your elbow. And if whoever you are, if you just check yourself, you're going to find the growth has just disappeared. I don't know who you are or where you are, but the growth is, it's on your arm. You'll feel it's gone flat.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, 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 no. We want what God wants to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who is that? Right there where you are, right there. Hallelujah. He said, feel it, it's gone flat. Praise the Lord. Huh? It's half already? Uh-huh. It's half. Let's get it all up right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We take it all, don't we? We don't just accept halfway. We go all the way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.